Podcast.
Hey, how's it going, guys? It's episode 51. I hope you're ready and naked.
I know, well.
Covered in marmalade.
Yeah, marmalade, marmite, whatever. All the M's. So.
Yeah. I'm gonna punch a badger. And fade out. I love that bit. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 51 of the Dead Kong podcast.
51, I think. 51. I've already said that.
What's happened to the world?
Well, I don't know, Jay. What's happened to the world since we've been away? It's been a while, to be fair, to the listeners. I feel like we should apologise.
Yeah, I feel like I've aged somewhat.
Wow.
I don't know, I think I've developed as a person. I've, you know, found some truths about myself. I've come to terms with them.
You've had a shave?
Easy. They were... Basically, I found a piece of Lego that had been stuck on my ass for a while. That's all I've learned, and I still haven't solved it, so...
It's easy how these things just come about, though, you know? You don't expect it, and it's just life punches you in the fucking jaw, doesn't it?
That's yeah, it, yeah, so. You know, it's, You know, these are life-changing things, so...
Yes, listeners, we've been... You know, this is episode 51, and we've been away for a while, longer than we should, but, you know, that's life, and it throws shit at your face sometimes. Sometimes you've got to learn to wipe it off and keep on smiling.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
If anybody has complaints or any sort of doubts or reasons why they might want to have a shouting session at the Dirty Kong podcast, you direct everything to Dave. Because everything is Dave's fault.
It is Dave's fault.
Because Dave is not here today.
He's not here today, he wasn't here last week. Personally, I haven't seen him for months.
Well, this is the thing. Far from like Dave's usual sort of repertoire of ladies, the older of the ilk, he's gone after the younger one now.
Yeah.
So he's been dilly dallying after some young fucking filly.
Yeah.
So that's where the show's been, on its arse.
Yeah. What kind of strikes me as odd is that maybe he's onto something that. Maybe the most exciting kind of sex and, you know, and female pleasures that you can have are at the opposite ends of the scale. You know, it's not like he's gone for like a mid-20s, early-30s kind of thing. He either goes for, you know, dangerously young, you know, almost criminally young. Or disturbingly old.
Yeah.
You know, ones that you think that if they would sneeze, then they'd just like enter the bowels of all of the, you know, vital organs.
I mean, I remember one time one of my old flatmates got dumped by his long-term girlfriend, and then we were at a party, I think, 2 days later, and there was, for some reason, bearing in mind this was at university, where all things happen, there was like a 55-year-old lady there with her husband, and towards the end of the night, my friend was getting down and dirty up in the upstairs bedroom. With said 55-year-old lady.
Wow, that's kind of weird and wrong. You see, the thing is that like...
I mean, I think there's something good about doing something wrong like that.
Yeah, you know? I would like to do that. Oh. You know, it's like the whole, it's the whole, like, you know, oh, I definitely shagged the Queen. Now, I would have shagged the Queen, like, 30 years ago.
Right.
When she was kind of a bit more fit.
Definitely.
But, now...
She's getting on a bit
she's
now.
A bit old and wrinkly, but I'd still fuck her, because it's you can say that you've done it.
Right.
And it's kind of the same thing. I wouldn't mind having sex with, like, a, you know, 57-year-old prostitute, just to say I've done it.
Yeah, I mean, to say you've had, like, a sex with a 57-year-old prostitute is one thing, but then to do what Dave has done, and then to go from the other end of the spectrum, which is, like, you know, almost prepubescent lady...
Yeah.
...is a bit, you know... Is that wrong? Is that more wrong? Or less wrong? Or equally wrong, Jay?
I don't know. I mean... You're kind of you know my sexual preferences. I like them fairly young, but the thing is, what would kind of strike me is that, you know, if you go from like, you know, grandmother style old bird to like really really young, surely that because you've been with someone really really old beforehand, it's going to make this person almost seem like. The age of a baby, you know, it's gonna the difference is gonna be strikingly obvious. It's gonna like punch you like a donkey. You know, it's just gonna be like, surely
it's like going from swimming in water to swimming in sand.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
most people don't swim in sand, Dave.
No, but Dave is a sand swimmer.
He fucking is. In the deep end.
But then he's started swimming in the clouds of delight of the of the less hairy, more flexible, child.
Wow. I think this is the thing that most of our listeners understand about the Dirty Kong podcast. If you know, long-term listeners out there, they know our Dave. We know our Dave. And he's not one for relationships. But I heard we were at a drinks the other day, weren't we, Jay?
Yeah.
And I heard him utter the sentence, "I have a girlfriend now." So we've lost Dave.
Yeah,
essentially
we have. Yeah,
but when he does return to the show, ladies and gents, he will not be the same man.
He won't. Don't you feel like he'll be arriving in a smoking jacket, and you know he'll want to like, it'll be you know he normally has his like weird and quirky stories. He'll be getting stories about tax cuts in, you know, in Belgium. You know, due to falling prices of I don't know fucking recycled copper.
He'll
have read it in the Guardian, and you know it's like and how it's going to have an effect on the Belgian economy, which is like disastrous for the you know for the euro. And I'm going to be like, what the fuck, Dave? Why are there no goats on fire, and why have you not told me about them? You know, that's how it's going to turn out.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, it's going to ruin the Dirty Kong podcast as a whole. This show will not be the same anymore. We are Cougar supporters on this show. This is the Cougar podcast. If this wasn't called the Dirty Kong podcast, it'd be the Cougar Corner or the Cougar podcast.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of maybe changing the name. But anyway... That's our style. That's how we go. That's how I roll.
That's how we roll. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, Cougar Girl out there, I just feel bad for her because she's lost one of her disciples.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a future mate, as they call them. It's not girlfriends and boyfriends, is it? You know, cougars tend to have like mates or.
Yeah. Well, they run in packs, don't they?
They do. Yeah.
They mate like fucking rabbits. They're fucking dirty slags. Yeah, so
I'm getting hot in the collar.
It's very hot in this country at the minute in Derbyshire.
Yeah, I was just thinking about Cougar Girl.
Of course.
Yeah. I think she actually got back to me about that.
She said she wouldn't have sex at you.
Yeah, but I also got something on Facebook where you know I said that if I was going to have sex with her, I'd have to put a bag on her head.
Oh, bag and tag, yeah.
A bag and tag. Well, remember, John.
It's only because I was editing the video just before you got it.
All right, fair enough. And she says, you know, oh, I don't need a bag on my head, thank you very much. And so I said, well, can I have a bag on my head?
Will that make things better?
Well, yeah, either way, I don't want to see mush. And then she got all out fucking...
Have you fallen out with that Cougar Girl?
No, actually, because it was quite funny what she put. Because she, you know, she had something to say about it.
Well, she's a woman.
And then I think, like, she said something like, you know, mind you, when I do get up in the morning, I haven't got my slap on or something. This is what I look like. And she sent me just like this, like, disfigured monster kind of thing. And it made me lol.
Did you lol?
I lolled.
A woman made the J train lol.
Yeah. Which is an achievement. Because as far as I'm concerned, there is no female comedians out there.
There are none.
There's some that claim to be comedians, but there aren't actually any.
Who's that real fit one from America? She's got like long dark brown hair. I think she's like Jewish. She's hot, but she's not funny. She's like eye candy. I forgot her name now, though.
I can't remember.
And there's
there is actually one female comedian who's brilliant at the moment. And Shil Pachetti?
That sounds foreign to me, Jay.
She is dangerously foreign.
Oh, good lord.
She's a worrying shade of brown.
Oh, good lord.
You know, it's like, are those strings on your hoodie, are they to do up your hood, or are they not like, the tags that just set off the chest bomb?
Right, okay.
But no, she's actually really quite funny.
Fuck me.
So yeah, so the world has changed, John.
The world is changing. We've been away for like I think 3 weeks or something. We've not done the podcast in that long, and I feel like everybody's just fucking gone and changed on me.
There's female comedians. Dave's got a girlfriend.
Holy fuck, monkeys.
Yeah, it's just you know I feel like I'm getting left in the past.
I feel kind of depressed now. I want to just sort of stop and have a bit of a cry. I need a hug.
Yeah, I feel like we should move up north, where it's like, you know, where time hasn't gone quite so fast, you know.
I'm not moving up to Scotland. Fuck you.
But no. Still, you know, like, oh, have you just heard Duran Duran has got the new single out?
Nothing wrong with Duran Duran.
Have you heard of David Bowie? Yeah, it's this new great act.
Speaking of bands, Jake, you never guess who I went to see the other day.
Oh, I don't know.
Come on.
Was it Guns N' Roses?
It was Guns N' Roses.
I just saw your poster.
Yes, I have a poster. I have a T-shirt and I have a magazine thing of some sort. But yes, I went to see Guns N' Roses last week. That's, I think, that was another reason why we didn't do the podcast last week. To be fair to Dave, I went to see a gig. It was Guns N' Roses and Thin Lizzy, what remains of both bands, but it was a fucking awesome show. They played for like 4 or 5 fucking hours.
Wow.
They didn't start. Yeah, I mean, the band didn't start. We went to Nottingham and watched them there, obviously. And the bands didn't start till about like 8:30, 9:00, and they didn't finish till 1 o'clock in the morning. And I had work the next morning.
Awesome.
So
you're still rocking it.
Yeah, I'm still rocking it. And that's why we didn't have the show last week. And the week before, I was preparing for a job interview, which I now have. So that went well.
Oh, good.
There we go.
I wouldn't have been able to do it that week because I had AIDS anyway. So
you had AIDS, so now it's changed. Yeah. So
I haven't got any more. I got better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then for everything else, it's Dave's fault.
Yeah.
So there we go. That's the truth of the matter.
Yeah.
But yeah, Guns N' Roses
rock. They were specific days. They were like one day out of the week.
Hmm.
I mean, we are recording, what is it? It's a Wednesday today. We don't always record on a Sunday. So
no.
They were really like single days out of the last, 3 weeks where you couldn't record.
So, this is true.
So for those other 6 days of the week, it's all Dave's fault.
Definitely. So Jay, I mean, that's basically what I've been up to recently. What have you been? Have you been doing anything much, my friend? Or
I have been. Well, what did I do? Nothing. I have done nothing. I was actually having to think. No, it's because of this actual heat wave that we're having. Is it a heat wave?
It is fucking mental. I am sweating my cock off right now.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, it's like I've decided to wear a hoodie, and I feel like a complete fucking moron. I'm just sat here sweating.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely... Oh, she's fit.
Yeah, sorry for listeners. Jay's just sat out the window. It's open. So.
Yeah, sorry. That's the good thing about the heat wave, though. It brings out the fitters, you know.
This is the thing.
And
I mean,
wear less clothes.
I tell you what, though. I mean, I was walking around town the other day. Fucking Jesus Christ! There were some girls, and to be fair, now they were young girls. They were girls.
Yeah, they weren't like fully blossomed teens.
No, they were talking 14, 15, 16-year-old. And I'm no paedophile, especially in the line of work that I work in, but. They were wearing hot pants, Jay.
Wow.
But hot pants that were like short hot pants.
Yeah.
If kind hot of, pants were
like French knickers.
Yeah.
Jesus.
How the fuck? It should be illegal for girls of that age to wear shit like that.
Yeah.
If you're not a drunk fat slag out on the pool at night, you know, in a nightclub, wearing dirty fucking, scrotty fucking, hot pants, then that's fine. That's one thing. That, you know, I can appreciate that sometimes on a drunken night out. But, like, broad daylight?
Yeah.
I don't care if there's a heat wave. It's not some on your ass.
Yeah, it's not appropriate day wear, is it? I mean... You know, wear a short skirt, wear like a mini skirt. I mean, you know, because that's kind of like more covering, isn't it? You know,
they'll only be moaning when they're being raped.
Yeah,
then they'll be moaning. Yeah. They'll be like, "Oh, mum," and you're like, "No, well, you will wear those hot pants."
You know, I mean, there'll be all these complaints, and it'll be all my fault, you know, because I've been out, you know, like having sex with all these kids, and you know, it's not my fault. You're just really sexy today, and you know. It's just like, yeah. I had a massive throb on, you know, and like...
throb on.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, I like your style.
What is it supposed to do with it? Waste it. You know, yeah. I'm pretty sure that's one of the commandments, you know, don't waste a throb on, you know.
Especially me coming out of my polo phase. I'm my red polo. I've got to use it when I can, just in case it fucking falls off. But it's not the rapist's fault that the girl happened to wear really, really hot pants.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know...
It's like those girls now that just wear like those kind of leggings or those tights.
I know that actually nothing over the top of them. That's really weird. Bugs me, and it's like because it does look really nice, and you know, at the end of the day, let's be all be sensible. I wouldn't be able to, you know, go and do that because she's underage. But it's like you're making it kind of difficult to resist. You know, it's like I'm having these thoughts in my head, and I'm like, I know this is bad. I kind of said that a bit worse. what I'm saying is that, you know, you see that and you think, oh, that's fit. Oh, hold on.
Yeah. You know, well, it's all on show. Young.
It's just a pre-programmed thing to, yeah, you know, to see, like, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'd like to do that. Whoa, shit, Jamie, what are you thinking about? She's 14.
This is it's like a double take, yeah.
Yeah.
You have to sort of stop yourself. But this is the thing, I mean, elite, when they're so, like, these, like, thin, like, leggings shits or the tights, they're almost just like tights, and they've got nothing on top. It's literally like I'm seeing everything of the arse, I'm seeing everything of the undercarriage, and your fucking, you know, yeah, your bird's nest.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I don't want to see it, it's just there.
No, that's right.
There should be a skirt over the top. If this was the 1950s, there'd be a skirt.
Yeah, you're right. They should be wearing a skirt. And not because, you know, oh, I think they should cover up. It's because it looks nicer as well, to be fair.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, those leggings with like a little miniskirt, that looks really, really great. Now it just looks like you're wearing sexy pajamas, which is kind of cool and crap at the same time. You know,
yeah.
I don't really.
It's
know
sort of cool and depressing that I think it's sort of cool.
Yeah,
you have to go home and really think about yourself quite harshly.
It's like a really hard maths question. It's like, I don't know. I really, you know, I can't work this one out.
It's like masturbatory guilt times 10.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like that time when I masturbated over Amy Winehouse when I found out she was dead.
Dead. Yeah.
I didn't know whether I should be doing it or not. So, you know, I cracked one out and then I felt bad about it.
Shoot first, ask questions later.
Yeah.
Fucking boom. But this sort of leads me on to this one of these articles I found, leading up to this penultimate show I feel it's going to be tonight.
Mm.
Do you remember me talking about, I think it was the youngest girl in Britain to be, to go through a transgender operation. So it was a boy being turned, transmorphed, magically turned into a girl.
A girl, yeah.
Well, there's a sort of follow-up story here. Miss England semi-final for transgender teen. So the transgender teen has now entered into the Miss England competition and is in the semi-final, Jay.
Oh, my God.
Now,
wait, what? How have we got a picture of this?
We have.
Monstrosity?
I've got to say, I fucking would. She's
really?
Pretty fit. It's pretty fit.
Oh my god, really?
That's not bad.
That was a, hold on, I'm sorry, the sound might get a bit fucked up here, guys. Can I just...
Yeah, take that.
That is...
We're gonna...
That is really, really wow.
We're gonna post this on the Facebook page, because the... this is a good time to flag up, actually, that the website's offline at the minute, because we're sort of changing it around and stuff.
Oh,
so this will be up on the Facebook page. Yeah, she's got into the it's got into the semi-finals. Is it a she now?
Jesus, Jay? Well, I don't know. If you look that good, then you can be a she.
there you go.
How old actually? She's 18.
Well, I was going to read the story, but if you just want to, I think we've lost Jay to the actual the transgender girl now. He won't give me my laptop back. So
I'm just I tell you what, you can have that back. Yeah, I'm.
Well, I'll email you the image, and it, like I say, we'll post it on Facebook so anybody on the Facebook page can look at it. A teen who was the youngest Brit ever to have a sex change is one step closer to becoming Miss England. Come on, England.
Come on, England.
Jackie Green will take to the stage tonight at the beauty pageant semi-finals in Leicester after winning a public vote in the heat earlier this month. So she got publicly voted in. It got publicly voted in.
Yeah.
The 18-year-old... who was born Jack, hence Jackie.
Okay.
But has lived as a girl since the age of 10. I think this brought up the whole debate about like how young can you be when you sort of decide gender and things like that.
Yeah.
It got quite political, I think. Since the age of 10, was asked to enter by modelling scouts who had no idea of her history.
Ah.
So they got fucking duped.
Yeah, tricky.
But to be fair, she looks fucking pretty good, dude.
Yeah, she looks like she was, you know, originally supposed to be a girl.
Yeah. She became the UK's youngest transsexual after an op in Thailand, of course, on her 16th birthday.
Wow, that's pretty close.
That's pretty close.
I wouldn't have a problem if it was 18, but 16, that's still like GCSEs.
That's GCSE level.
That's like first kiss and, you know, can't even drive yet. You know,
yeah.
That's poor. Poor life choice. But good result. You know, you looked out. Well done.
It said... I went to Britain's Next Top Model show in London and was really surprised when scouts came up to me. Miss England is a prestigious competition. I'd love to win, as I have a good chance as anyone. Now, it's going to get to this point in these sort of pageants where the sort of, you know, the scouts or the judges are going to have to go under and have a proper, you know, thorough vaginal examination just to make sure.
Yeah, it's pretty much going to be like, you know, the only way we can test that you are a girl is if I have sex with you, and then you can enter in 9 months when you have a baby.
Yeah.
But then you'll be all, like, you know, flapped out and all
your
C-section, so you'll be destroyed anyway. So basically what I...
Did you just say flapped out?
Yeah, you know, flaps will be hanging out like Doner Kebab, you know.
Beautiful, Jay. Lovely.
you know, lips will be escaping around the edge of her knickers.
Well, no, because it would be a bit like a sort of Rocky film where he gets beaten down by, like, you know, Clubber Lang, and then he has to fucking train up solid and then come back and win. Right. So it'll be like, you know, it'll be one of those real good stories. The aspiring model from Leeds hopes to use the opportunity to speak out about bullying and transgender issues.
Oh, is that a bullying story again?
I got bullied. Yeah, she's still flat-chested, though, which is funny, because if you think if you can have the surgery, you can have a decent-sized rack.
Yeah.
But this is the thing, because obviously the Scouts fucked up big style this time. I mean, obviously they scouted a fucking transgender girl into this competition.
And, they can't, like, say, oh, you can't enter, because then they'll be all, like, all hated, so, you know, they've had to spin it on, like, oh, we believe in equality kind of shit.
Yeah. Well, just to remind, like, listeners, if they didn't hear the story, that this is a bit of backstory. She said that the bullying had led her to attempt suicide 5 times. I mean, attempt suicide 5 times, Jay? Really? I mean, once maybe you fail, you fuck it up. First time, you know, fair play. Second time, really?
Yeah.
You failed at suicide.
Yeah, really. I mean, it's like, if you've failed to kill yourself 5 times, you've probably got the IQ of a melon. You know, or some form of, you know, limestone.
A sexy transgendered melon.
I'd still pork that melon.
I'd still drill a hole in it and fuck it.
Warm up in the microwave and stick my cock in it.
Suicide 5 times before her parents paid $28,000 for the sex change surgery abroad in Thailand.
In Thailand.
She added, "I can never thank my mum enough. She saved my life." Her appearance at the contest comes just weeks after another transgender model appeared at the Miss Universe in Canada. So it's happening all over, Jay. They're taking over.
Jesus.
So watch this space. Anybody, you know, if you go out with a girl, you take her on a date, and you go, oh, you know, what have you ever done? And she'll say, you know, I was in Miss Universe such and such, or I was, you know, Britain's Top Model UK or some shit like that. Run away.
Yeah,
because the Scouts don't know what they're looking for.
Yeah, that's a scary prospect, John.
But, you know, I suppose congrats to it.
Yes, it's done very well for itself.
It has done very well for itself. No, we love you, Jackie. Because,
yeah, I mean...
If you were older and you'd be a cougar transgender, then I'm fucking well up for it.
What kind of weirds me out, though, is that, like, as a species, we're supposed to look for, the sexiest, and, you know, it's all about, you know... Improving the species by, you know, like, only the best procreating kind of thing.
Mm.
And then it's like, so I'm thinking, you know, damn, I'm going to hit that. And then all of a sudden, I can't have a kid with it because it's not a girl. So it's like, doing that shit is kind of a big biological fuck-up.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah,
because I'm trying to basically have sex with lots of men now. Basically, she has made me gay. I am now a homosexual, John.
Are you gay, though, if you're transgendered?
Well, if you ran a DNA test, then it would come up boy. I don't know.
It's funny, because you think, you know, you pick a girl up at the bar and you don't know she's a transgender, but she's a transgender. She used to be a bloke. You sleep with her, you don't know, and then she tells you in the morning. Is that gay? You didn't know?
No, I suppose it's not gay, because being gay is the choice, isn't it? You know, I choose to have sex with a man. If you didn't know, then I guess you're not gay. But I'd still feel pretty gay.
Because do you think it'd be gay if she was up front at the bar and then he still took her home and had sex?
Yeah, that would be slightly more homo-esque.
Yeah.
So,
Well, okay. We'll leave that there, I think. I think that's...
Yeah, we've covered that one pretty well. Basically, if you're a bloke, don't chop your knob off. You only get one. It won't grow back. I have a very short story.
That's a good message, actually.
Sorry?
That's a great message. If you need to say that message, it's one of those things, isn't it? If you had to say that to people, they don't deserve it.
Yeah, that's true. I have an incredibly short story.
Go.
But it is funny.
Fucking rail.
I have a story about a man who threw his own intestines at police.
Yes. Jay, what else are you going to do now?
The most casual of stories. Wayne Carter, 43, stabbed himself around 50 times with a 12-inch blade, and then started to throw his intestines and other guts at police in Hackensack, New Jersey.
This is bollocks.
Lieutenant Timothy Lloyd tells the Cliff View pilot, they tried to talk him down, but they were having no luck.
He was
slashing at them with a knife before he started to turn it on himself, and then proceeded to throw his organs at the police until he collapsed.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean that along with the zombie thing that cracked off in, was that Miami?
Yeah, I've got that somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, America gone crazy is the message.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he had some kind of psychological problem. I haven't got much information on this, but yeah, you know, so he stabbed himself about 50 times with a 12-inch blade, and then just like started throwing all of his like intestines and guts,
fucking hell,
out of his body as they fell out.
He must have really had some beef with the police.
Yeah.
I mean, most people throw stones or sticks, yeah, don't they?
I mean, what I'd like to know is that has he got so angry that he's thrown absolutely everything at the police around him,
yeah,
until he had nothing left and he's like, I've just got to start throwing myself now, and just started cutting bits off him and Jesus throwing them at the police.
He must have been on some sort of fucking crazy drug shit, chemical,
yeah, yeah,
cocktail to do that kind of crap. You can't cut your fucking stomach open, throw your shite at the police and not feel it.
It's pretty crazy.
Like a fucking oof. But yeah, I mean, that zombie story, our friend Andy sent this in, so thanks Andy, to our Facebook page. You can always find Dirty Con Podcast on the Facebooks. It's another short one. It just says zombie kill, and that's the headline. A naked man was shot dead by cops as he ate another man's face in a zombie style cannibal attack, which is quite incredible. Even after being shot, the maniac continued to gnaw at the man's head. Cops fired 6 more shots to bring him down at a roadside in Miami, Florida, on Saturday. The victim is fighting for life after losing most of his face.
Wow. That's fucking brilliant, that is.
That's an actual zombie attack that's happened. Yeah,
that is...
We're going to start seeing more and more of these reports, and then the world's just going to fucking end, that's it.
I can only hope. I pray for a zombie apocalypse. Because it means that I don't have to get a job. It's just all about survival, then.
I just imagine this man gnawing this other guy's head and going, nyang, 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 nyang. Fuck off.
Yeah. Just, like, really trying to, like, you know, like, grind his teeth into, like, you know, into his chin or, like, into the top of his skull. It's a quite a funny thought not your face in his mouth.
But this brings up, it took 6 shots to bring this guy. Who the fuck were these policemen shooting this one bloke? They couldn't get him after a couple.
Yeah.
And it's the same with the other police in the other story, because they were fucking, this is obviously a drugged up guy with a knife, and they couldn't get anywhere near him. Couldn't they just taser the fucker?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a 12-inch blade. I'm pretty sure the tasers can go further than 12 inches. So as long as you're 13 inches away from a man with a 12-inch knife, I'm pretty sure you're safe.
Yeah, pretty much.
And so, yeah, I don't know. But, you know, these Americans and the guns, it's any excuse, you know. Oh, you're double parked. Get the shotty out. But yeah, that's pretty crazy. Would you have liked to have seen that, John? If somebody told you that was going to happen, if somebody kind of somehow knew that, you know, if you just like turned around and walked down that block, and in 2 minutes you could see a bloke chewing a man's face off, would you go and see it?
There would definitely be a bit of me, a large proportion of me, or most of me that would want to see that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's that morbid curiosity, isn't it?
Yeah. Again, you know, taking it to the next level, you just hope that the other man was like alive and screaming as he was doing it.
Yeah.
But that's just me, because I'm a bit sick like that.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I mean, it would be kind of crap if somebody was just eating a dead person up, because that's basically just like, you know, eating a burger.
Yeah.
You know, there's no threat, there's no thrill, there's no hunt. You know, it's like, I want to see, yeah, if, I mean, I would have definitely gone to see it, you know, but...
Would you have paid to see it? Would you have paid money to see...
I would pay a small amount, I think.
I'll pay a small amount of euros, but I won't pay any good British money see that.
The euro is just a bag of shit. it's about collapsed anyway, thanks to Greece and Germany.
Well done, Greece and Germany.
Yeah, Greece for being crap with money, and Germany for not giving any of it away.
Achtung.
Yeah. what other words do I know?
Schweinhund.
Yeah.
I know that.
There we go. Scheiße.
anyway, Jay.
Sorry, we kind of went off on a bit of a tangent there. But yeah, I would go and see that. I'd pay money to go and see.
Yeah, definitely.
A guy. Would you go and see that guy chewing off the face of a beautiful woman? that was like completely naked.
Well, only if I could masturbate whilst it was happening. If it was like a sex show, then yes. Yeah. Because it would have to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Genuinely?
No.
No. Oh, well, I'm not going to give you my answer. Okay. Oh, I've got something else to say about that story.
Holy crap.
There's a boy in India who...
of course there is.
...had a live fish removed from his lung.
Right. Does he keep it there as a pet?
We'll find out. Sorry, it actually does have nothing to do with your story, but I just got bored of it.
thanks, man.
Oh, fucking hell, here we go with all these fucking foreign type names. Anil Bareilly...
Smith.
Yeah, Craig. Craig, 12, yeah. Of Twave of Manchester. Craig is 12 and lives in Manchester, which is in India. Was playing with friends when he swallowed a live fish.
Yes, of course.
The Times of India, which is, I'm sure, is their attempt as a newspaper.
Yeah.
Probably all fucking write him out. You'll get all our little kids just to write the same thing out a billion times because there's about fucking 70 billion of them.
No, it's like a cheap comic. It's just squiggly lines on a piece of paper.
Their writing is just that, isn't it? I think they just like look at all these squiggly lines and just like have a laugh to himself.
I'd just like to say that, you know, India is one of the richest countries in the world. It's the forefront of all technologies, but it's also one of the most impoverished places in the world, Jay.
Yeah.
And I think it's, you know, we're poking fun, but we're poking fun to raise awareness. I just want to flag that up right now.
Yeah, okay.
Carry on, my friend.
I would like them all to die, though. The Times of India says the tasty treat was routine. What was less unusual was for the fish to slide into Anil's windpipe and onto his left lung. Anil began to feel unwell.
No shit.
Yeah, well, the thing, you've got a fish in your lung.
Yeah.
You will feel unwell.
You have to drink some water. Lols.
You'll have to breathe in some water. Have to drown yourself to keep the fish alive.
Any semi.
Which is a fair trade-off if you're a child from Pakistan. Wow. It's only a goldfish as well, but, you know, I'll still trash it more. Dr. Pramod Jawar... Dr. Phil, the notorious black guy. X-ray displayed the left lung completely opaque due to the presence of a foreign object. The fish was live and taking its last breath when the bronchoscopy was done, restricting the function of both the lungs, resulting in low intake of oxygen. This is the first case of this sort of thing that we have come across in 20 years. Blah blah blah. I can't see if the fish is alive. I'd be gutted if the fish died.
I think it is dead.
Yeah, it said its last breath, so,
Once you describe anything as a foreign body, it's usually dead.
Yeah. That is the case of a child, with a fish in its lung.
Well, where's the fucking parents in all this?
I don't know.
Where's the goddamn...
In some kind of armpit country like India, or, you know...
Well... This is the thing, though. I mean, don't we have children in need every fucking other year? We're raising fucking millions, and then you've got fucking kids in fucking India swallowing goddamn motherfucking goddamn fucked goddamn fucking fish.
This is it. I mean, obviously...
What am I giving my 10p to when I fucking ring up and offer?
I don't know, John.
God,
I mean, we give them all this money to give them food, and what do? They can't even eat the food. I mean, you know, it's like, you know how, is it Attenborough that said that basically the panda is basically an obsolete species?
Yeah, it's almost extinct.
Basically a species that has to be interfered by man to get them to procreate.
There's like one and a half of them left, isn't there?
Yeah, pretty much. So they are destined for the, you know, for nature's dustbin.
Just like the midgets.
And I say that about the people of India.
Fucking hell, Jay.
Well, the thing is that they're all inbreed, so they're all either fucking 9 foot tall with seven arms and a, you know, foot hanging.
This is true. This is why whenever you... That is actually true. There is a lot of inbreeding in the Indian culture, which is why when you ever hear of octopus girl, it's always an Indian
because
girl.
Because they're always having sex with the brother or the first cousin or, you know, or the dad. It's like... If there's a species of people, I'm going to call them a species because I don't want to call them human.
Wow.
They just don't deserve to be alive anymore, apart from in some kind of zoo. Because they're just...
You can't say that.
I can't say that. If, you know, it's like we're showing out all this money to help this, you know, this fucking, this type of people.
Yeah, well,
and they're just like, and they're all fucking themselves up.
Swallowing goddamn fish.
Yeah, inhaling fish. If you know, if I inhaled a fish and choked on it, I wouldn't want to be resuscitated because I wouldn't feel like I deserve my life.
Why couldn't they just house these fish in like a you know, clear plastic bag like most people at a fair, or put it in a fucking toilet like most other people?
Yeah.
I mean, why are they keeping them in the lungs? What's that about?
I don't know.
Get a fucking fishbowl.
I've got another story related to that in the way that it's not, but I just wanted to say more.
Yeah, try and segue, yeah.
There's a husband who's divorced his wife.
Okay, that happens.
It does happen, but there is a good reason for it.
Alrighty.
She adopted some cats.
As now, you do.
What would be an unacceptable amount of cats?
No, well, you're a cat lover yourself.
I am a cat lover. And how many cats? I love cats. I wouldn't think... I mean...
How many cats do you own?
Yeah. I've got four at the moment.
Four, that's quite a few.
Three of them are really, really cool. One of them is a pain in the ass. I feel like I could deal with another good cat, so I could have five if the fifth cat... was a good one, another good one.
Yeah.
But I won't be able to deal with another pain in the ass cat.
What's so the difference, Jay? What? How do you discriminate between that?
Well, basically, you know, like, my favourite cat, Perry. I have got favourites, I'm that kind of guy. He's just, you know, he's really affectionate. He'll come and jump on your lap. Then you can give him some food. But he also eats his cat food. He doesn't shit in the house. He's really well toilet trained.
Okay, that's a good cat.
If you shout his name, he'll come over. Now, my crap cat is called Tilly. She is petrified of everything. And I mean, literally, the wind scares her. If you know, it's like if the wind blows, and you know how people have those wind chimes?
Yeah.
Or if maybe something falls out of a tree, like, you know, some kind of fruit or, you know, vegetation, she'll run away from it.
Right.
It's like she's afraid of nature. If you are feeding her, she'll stand by your feet, but when you put the cat dish down, if you put it down too hard and it makes a bit of a clank, she'll run out the cat flap because she thinks you're trying to kill her or something.
She's a wimp.
She's a fucking psycho crazy bitch.
Most women are.
So, yeah, that's right. So, she's basically woman in cat form. I won't be able to deal with another titty.
Or like a girlfriend.
Yeah. But I could have another Perry, if you know what I mean. So I believe that 4.5 cats is the limit of, you know, how many cats I should have. Anyway, we're getting away from it. If you was moving in with a girl,
right,
and she started to adopt cats, when would you call it quits?
Now,
if you really loved this woman,
right,
if you really, really, really loved her with all your heart, you knew that you were going to spend the rest of your life with her, you had joint bank accounts, the only thing you hadn't done is actually got married, but you was engaged and everything, it's all fucking, it's that far.
We're just about to move in, are we?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Well, see, I'm not a cat person, right, I've just got into a relationship with a woman, and, you know, everything's going good. She has a cat. I could move in with her with that cat, I think, and cope with it. I'm not a cat person. I don't mind. I don't hate them. To me, it would be really low. It would be lower than four. It'd be probably two. I think two would be, you know, one would be acceptable. Two is like, wow, there's two now. You know? Okay. I'd notice two.
Right.
But I'd go for two.
Yeah.
That would be my limit.
That would be your limit.
My personal limit for cats.
Okay, well, what would you say to 550 cats?
I didn't expect the 50. I did not expect the 50 on the end of that.
The title of this story is Woman Adopts 550 Cats. Husband Leaves.
No shit.
The husband wants to divorce his wife because she's adopted 550 cats.
Not at once, though.
The husband told the rabbinical court in Beersheba, Israel, explains a lot.
Here we go.
That the cats have taken over, forcing him to exit the family bed and sleep on the floor.
Fuck off.
I mean, the thing is, cats are known for, you know, sleeping on beds and stuff because they're the comfiest thing. So he's obviously getting smothered by all these fucking cats. Can't take it, so he's sleeping on the floor.
I mean,
that's just fucking insane. Cats hog the bathroom and steal his food.
Oh, fuck. Kick the fucking thing up the arse. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So
I think you agree with me, Jay. If your cat stole your food, like your breakfast from the table, you'd kick it up the fucking arse.
Well, I did. That's why Tilly doesn't come near me. I cooked myself this really nice gammon steak. And I think I was on the phone to either you or Ben. I know it was one of you two. And I was on the phone to you. And I was probably turned round, what, about 15 seconds?
Right.
And I looked round at my plate and my fucking gammon was gone. I mean, I'm a big fat person and I like lots of gammon. This thing was a big slice of gammon for, you know, size for a big fat person.
I enjoyed
it.
Yeah, a nice bit of gammon.
And, yeah. And I saw, the last time I saw of it, because I saw this, like, trail of, like, you know, gammon juices and that, going from, you know, dining room into the kitchen. And I looked in the cat flap, and it was wedged in the cat flap. And I tried to grab it, but it just flew out. I opened the fucking door, and the thing had gone. She had got that thing in her mouth and ran with it.
Yeah.
So,
typical woman, big, big, juicy bit of meat in her fucking mouth, runs amok.
Yeah. So,
story of my life.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
So, you know, next time I saw the cat, I actually did
kick it up.
Wouldn't
you? I mean, and you'd be square. The RSPCA wouldn't, you know, badmouth you for that, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
So, the 550 fucking things in the house.
Yeah.
How do you even begin? When did it get to, say, I mean, it would get to something like 10 and you'd be concerned.
Yeah.
15, 20, 25, etc. How the fuck does it get to 550?
Yeah, I mean, it says that they weren't all at the same time.
Yeah.
But at any one point, it was in the hundreds. It wasn't like 550 cats over a period of 50 years, and she had 10 cats at a time or something.
I mean, you imagine the state of this fucking house. I mean, I assume these cats must have grown in terms of, like, they're just mating with each other, and they've just populated that.
Well, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say anything. But, I mean, she's adopted 550 cats. I would assume that means that, you know, all the litters that she has, plus strays that come in.
Right.
Because cats kind of find other cats.
That's
how we got our kittens, because we've got two cats. There were two kitten strays that were on our lawn, and they smelt the cat food, so they came to our house. That's how we got them.
Right.
So, you know, we had two cats, and it became four. You know, if there was four stray cats outside, they would come and then would have eight. And then I could see the multiplication. If you've got 100 cats, it would probably attract quite a large number of cats to your house. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
And I think the more you have, the more you get.
So he's left now, has he?
He's left, yeah. He left. He gave her an ultimatum, and she said she would rather stay with the cats.
Fucking hell.
So, but the good thing is about that is that because it was, I mean, it was his choice to leave, but
well, you fucking.
I don't think that he'll have to give her half of his stuff, because I think he's got a genuine reason for leaving that crazy fucking cat lady.
Share the cats. Split the cats 50-50.
Yeah,
you have 250 fucking odd, and I'll have the rest.
You know what?
In that case,
that would send me so mental. I'd be like, yeah, I want half of those cats. Literally, I want the arse end. I want my half. As a half.
I want to cut those cats in fucking
half. I want 550 cat arses. just to maybe...
Well, that's just what you like, really.
Yeah.
I've got another story. This is completely unrelated now.
Okay.
This is going on another spin. This is another story sent in by our friend Andy on Facebook, because he's been quite diligent on our little Facebook page, bless his heart.
Good man.
This is the one that you can't remember and don't... You've met him a few times and you don't remember him. Do you remember what I'm on about?
I'd like to think that really annoys him.
Anyway, ISAF drops candy to Afghanistan children.
Okay,
so the army are dropping down, you know, candy for the kids.
That's a nice sweet story. Personally, I wouldn't do it. But
like your cat story, Jay, there's an extra added bit to the headline here.
Okay.
So, the ISAF drops candy to Afghan children. Kills 52.
Oh, that's brilliant.
It's nice. It's tragic.
Yeah, it is nice. It's brilliant.
It even says it in the paragraph. In a tragic accident earlier today, aircraft belonging to the International Security Assistance Force, or the ISAF, inadvertently killed 52 Afghans today near the city of Mazar-e-Sharif, while attempting to drop candy to a group of children.
Jesus.
According to the accounts from both Afghans and the international observers, two aircraft later identified as American C-130s, whatever they are, made a low pass over a village of several hundred Afghans outside the city. Approximately 1.4 million M&Ms were to be delivered via container delivery system in a single package with a weight of 1,500 pounds.
Wow.
So a single package of fucking M&Ms.
Yeah, that's my kind of drop.
That's like a dream.
Yeah.
Due to a malfunction in the static line, the parachute failed to deploy and the container crashed through the roof of a local school at nearly 100 miles per hour. Fucking hell.
Oh, that is so brutal.
Wow.
I'm sorry, I don't care if you feel sorry for those kids. If you hear that, that is fucking hilarious.
That's Jay. Fail.
That is epic fail.
Fucking epic fail.
That is monster fail. I'm sorry, but 1,500 pounds of M&Ms flying into a school
at 100 miles an hour.
You couldn't make this shot up.
Okay.
I need to make a film of this.
You need to stop masturbating while I'm reading the story, Jake.
That is true.
Upon impact. Upon impact, the force of the rapidly settling candies caused the sides to explode outwards, causing what physics professor Dr. Rosetta Schwartz described as essentially a 360-degree anti-personnel mine full of chocolate.
That's both scary and delicious.
Schwartz is referring to the M&M candy shells, which shattered and spalled upon entering the bodies of the victims, and caused more numerous and severe secondary injuries. So it's like little mines going off in the skin, because the shells heat up. Because it's, you know, you hear that, like, peanuts and things, when heated up, can, like, be explosive and stuff.
Yeah.
That's essentially what happened, and especially with the hot, the sort of candy coating of an M&M.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoy an M&M, so...
I do. But not... It's like it's the most dangerous of the sweet.
Yeah, I think, apparently. Dr. Emmanuel Velez of the Red Cross, one of the first medical personnel at the site of the impact. Just imagine just a big brown splodge everywhere. At the site of the impact, had a similar assessment of the candy shell's damage. And this is a quote. "I've seen a lot of injuries inflicted on civilians by military ordnance, but this was so much worse," Velez said, stopping to change the bandages on one of the victims while pointing on the many blue, green and yellow splotches. "The worst were the peanut M&Ms. The soft chocolate acted as a sabot about the peanuts. So basically these things were candy-coated penetrating rounds."
Jesus.
And that's it.
You couldn't just... that is just going to stay with me forever.
I think it's going to stay with the victims forever.
Yeah, it's just... you know, well, if they weren't sweet enough before, you know.
They're sweet now, aren't they? Fucking hell. That's incredible. That is possibly the greatest fucking fail I've ever heard. And I actually want to thank Andy for sending that in. Thank you, Andy.
Yeah, that is brilliant. I do salute you, Andy. Next time I see
been,
you,
know,
I'm shake your hand, and I may possibly
try and remember.
Because I have a lot of respect for you.
It's been 51 shows, and I think Andy's finally pulled something out of his arse. So well done, Andy.
Yeah, apart from his usual shit.
apart from his girlfriend.
I was going to leave this till the end, but I need a story that will somehow rival that, but it will not. It won't even come close.
No.
This is just quite a random story.
Okay, fair enough, I like random.
It's from Ohio. And a 38-year-old Cole Avenue man, so this is all anonymous,
right.
But it's in the paper, reported that his home was invaded on September 9th. The man said he was sitting at home alone, masturbating and watching a pornographic movie.
No, there's nothing wrong with it.
No, nothing wrong with it. This is absolutely fine. When a man came down into his basement holding a gun and started to videotape him.
Now, if that's going to ruin any kind of masturbatory experience...
Yeah. That's bad, but this is where it gets weird.
Okay.
The man said that before he left, the intruder fed his dog some mushrooms and then the dog died. I get the feeling that he may be fucking psycho.
Or full of shit.
you know, and then he, you know, it goes on to say that he tried to pick up the gun, but it was too heavy.
Right.
So it's obviously had acid or something.
I know guns have weight to them, but yeah, to be too heavy to pick up is one
thing. Yeah, I mean, it's only a handgun.
The idea is handgun. Handgun.
Yeah, it's not truck gun. It's
or
not...
hands gun. You know.
Yeah. But the weird thing is that there's like this, you know, this officer, you know, he's nameless as well, that found and arrested this guy that matched the description of the guy who said that he broke into his house. You know, later went on to reveal that he did have a gun registered in his name.
Right.
They linked the gun to the gun that was found in this guy's basement. So, as weird as this story sounds, it's like it's partially true. The only bit that I don't get is kind of where it says the man said that before he left, the intruder fed his dog some mushrooms and then it died. I love how random that is. You know, it's just like, yeah, I fed it a mushroom and then it died. it just makes me laugh.
The thing is, even if this is a true fucking story, why has it become an issue? Why is this in the paper, or why is this flagged up? Because if that happened to me, I wouldn't tell anybody.
No.
I wouldn't bring it up. A guy busted in on me masturbating with a gun, didn't do anything, poisoned my fucking dog, and the dog died. Big fucking whoop, get over it, and I won't tell anyone. You know? I'll just go, I'll masturbate tomorrow.
But
without a dog in the room, for some reason.
Yeah. It was weird, and then it was true, you know, because, it kind of says, like, you know, he was masturbating to a porno, that's fine. Then a guy breaks in with a gun and starts videotaping. That's weird.
That is weird.
And then why would he feed this dog a mushroom? And then this dog just dies, like, instantly.
Why does
that happen, and why is it true? Because they found this guy, you know, that matched the description. He had a gun. It was, you know, it linked to the gun in this guy's basement.
Right.
And they arrested him, you know, on breaking and entering, you know, and this, that, and the other. It was really odd, and then it was true. It's just quite weird.
Beautiful. I have another story here that's sort of military themed. Actually, I could have done this straight after the other story, but never mind.
Sorry.
Jay, we've had house parties before, haven't we, sir?
We certainly have.
And we've had house parties at your house.
Yes, mine were better than yours, John.
Indeed they were. We'll start with that now. Dressing up parties. What is your favoured dressing up thing for
us? I do believe that I favour the Hulk.
You do dress up as the Hulk?
I do.
You green it up, don't you?
Yeah, three times in my life.
Yeah.
And three times I was successful in becoming awesome.
Exactly, you were very awesome. I remember helping you with your back at one point with the green paint.
Yeah.
Which was a personal experience that I will never forget.
Yeah.
So this ties into my story here. Hulk prankster stained green after using paint used on ballistic missiles.
Oh, wow.
So this guy has painted himself green like the Hulk. There you go, Jay. There's a picture.
That's frankly just shit.
It's pretty shit. That'll be on Facebook.
It's a similar shade, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess.
A prankster was red in the face after painting himself green when his new colour wouldn't wash off. Now, this explains everything. Brazilian man, Enrique, a swimming pool attendant.
Okay.
So, you know, not a fucking master's degree in anything right here.
No.
Well, he's Brazilian, to be fair. They haven't got schools, have they?
No.
Was trying to look like a superhero, the Hulk, but used a paint reserved for ballistic missiles and nuclear submarines.
Fucking hell.
Where'd he get this shit from?
I have no idea.
The comic book fan tried to scrub off the glossy green in the shower, but... What the fuck? Sorry. It's broken up with all the images. But the substance stained his skin. And more embarrassment was heaped on him when local papers in Brazil said the woman trying to help him was his girlfriend, when in fact it was his mother.
What a shame.
Now, this is the picture of the mother.
Oh!
Yeah, do you want to describe to the listeners, Jay, what you're seeing in a minute?
I would describe that as a cross between a hippo... and a turnip. and hair.
And hair. Yeah, so...
and regret.
Fucking idiot. He was mobbed by children in his native country who marvelled at his likeness to Bruce Banner's alter ego. But after being scrubbed for 24 hours, by as many friends and neighbours as he could get hold of, the paint eventually came off.
Jesus, I bet his skin was just, like, non-existent.
But, I mean...
He must have scrubbed down to, like, muscle.
Where the fuck do you get ballistic missile paint from, Jay? If you had to go run out right now and try and find some, where was the first stop you go?
I wouldn't know where to start.
Exactly.
I mean...
Exactly, you wouldn't know where to start, because we live in a fucking civilised country. Unlike Brazil.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
I can get you surgical blades, but...
Yeah, you can get me crack cocaine and surgical blades.
Yeah, I can get you lots of drugs and surgical blades, and I can get you some stuff, but nothing on that scale of awesome slash weirdness.
And talking, moving straight on, because I think we're on a bit of a fucking whirlwind here, another paint story and awesomeness, topless models banned from comic convention. Now...
No.
Who bans topless models from anything?
I ever. Don't know. They should replace the word banned with encouraged.
Welcomed in. If you had a PUBG and some topless models came in, are you going to be kicking these birds out?
You know what? No, I'm not. I'm going to be kicking all the other guys out, you know, to give me more chance at, you know, porking these coloured awesome girls.
A group of topless body painted models were booted out of a comic convention because their outfits were too rude. Now, basically what it is a bunch of awesome hot models.
Yeah.
Have dressed up like Wonder Woman, Batgirl, blah de blah de blah.
Yeah.
But instead of the top half, instead of being like the costume, it's the painted costume. So Wonder Woman's got the sort of red corset and it's just painted on, so it's naked tits, basically. Yeah. And these are the women that got booted out of this fucking convention. Look at these women.
Jesus Christ.
Would you boot that out of anywhere?
No, there's no way.
There's no way.
And, you know, people that go to these things, you know, are normally kind of geeks. You know, you think of like comic book guy, don't you, from The Simpsons?
Yeah.
They're the kind of people that turn up to these comic cons or
women, blokes, you know, that have never seen like a real woman's breasts.
Yeah, it's all been like internet porn and you know, that kind of stuff. And so to kind of kick them out is not only, you know, stopping them from having a really good time, it's also a learning experience.
Exactly. I mean,
so that's like the government don't want them to learn. That's how I interpret it, that.
The girls have their top halves were dubbed to resemble superheroes, including Lara Croft and Wonder Woman. But the five-strong group were asked to leave the Motor City Comic Con in Michigan after officials said they had received complaints about the raunchy get-up.
God.
Now, the complaints are from those fucking girls, the big, fat fucking arses,
yeah,
that dress up like Wonder Woman, but the fucking bellies are hanging out of the corset at the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, they can't pull it off. When you've got these stunners, I mean, look at this one, Lara Croft.
Yeah, oh man,
look at that.
Just incredible.
Fantastic stuff.
And you're right, it's just jealousy from these girls that are basically 70% grease.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not cool.
I'd grease them up.
Fat girls die, awesome painted girls live.
And one of the models said, this was the first time, that this was everybody's first time at Comic Con, and it was said we couldn't be there and be welcomed. And I agree with you girls from Comic Con. Fucking yeah. Rock on, girls. If you want to come to the Dirty Con podcast, the five of you, dressed up in any... You can be painted as anything. You will be welcomed here. Am I right, Jay?
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. You could come painted as my dad smearing dog turd on his genitals. I will still welcome you in. You could be painted as anything you like. As
exactly.
Vulgar. You could be James... Just paint yourselves with giant swastikas. I don't care. I love you girls.
And that's not just the five Comic-Con girls. That's any girls listening to this podcast right now.
Yeah.
Ladies,
yeah.
Paint yourselves topless, you know, and send it in.
Yeah.
Post it on our Facebook. Send it as a message. We've got our email address. We'll bring that out later. Or just come in on the show.
Yeah.
All are welcome here. Topless. Fantastic.
Would you prefer painted or not?
I prefer painted. I think it'd add a bit of like flair to the old breastular experience.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't think breastular is a word, but I'm going to carry on using it.
Okay, we'll try and launch that as a word.
Breastial.
Breastial.
I'm top dog tonight. You know.
I have a... I don't know. Your stories are much better than mine this week.
Oh, I don't know.
No, seriously, they are. They're really, really good. I have a story about this lad in Salford, Manchester, which is a good start to this story.
Sounds
apart
good,
from
yeah.
Where it says, where 5-year-old Zach Tamzinamir, Steve, Zach Tamzinamir, I can't even fucking say it. Why do they make it complicated? Zach Jones suffers from pica.
Pica.
Pica disorder.
I never heard of pica.
Basically, it's a it's where your brain can't what's the word?
Differentiate.
Thank you very much. I didn't know I was thinking that. They couldn't differentiate between foods and non-foods. So
like a goat.
Like a goat. Yeah. And so the NHS says, "Oh my God, I think my bachelor's just died on my Acer."
No way.
On my iPad ripoff.
Can you just paraphrase?
I read it anyway. Basically, yeah, he's a 5-year-old lad. He lives in Manchester in Salford. And he's got this pica disease, or dysfunction disorder, whatever you want to call it. And he eats his bedroom.
Right.
He does.
You can't just say it as casually as that.
Well, he does. You know, she says, you know, there's a quote from his mum, and she says that, you know, he eats books, hair, he eats his blinds, he eats the wallpaper,
hair.
He eats the carpet, he eats mud, grass, stones, bark.
Wow.
He eats absolutely anything. And, you know, anything with, like, different textures is kind of what it seems to be. But, you know, some of those things I can kind of maybe understand. If he hasn't got any taste, then, I don't know, things like, I don't know, like grass or moss could be kind of similar to salad, I guess. But stones?
You just eat absolutely fucking anything.
Just eat a stone. I really don't get that.
I don't get that.
It's quite the oddity, John.
That is an oddity.
He's also...
So he's eating the parents out of that, isn't
he? Yes, he certainly is. And to make it worse, he also had something else, which I can't remember. Oh, he's autistic as well.
No, nice. Ticking all the boxes.
Yeah, so he can't really talk very well. And so they can't really communicate him to tell him to stop eating all... Well, the house.
Can't they just shout louder? Stop eating!
Yeah.
Everything, ever. And stop eating my fucking fingers.
Yeah. Don't eat yourself. I mean, how would you solve that? Maybe you'd have to maybe coat the house in something that tastes so bad that he literally just can't put it in his mouth. And then just keep putting food out that tastes really nice and maybe he'll kind of remember what tastes good and what doesn't taste good, but...
It should just be like goat's disease, because that's just what goats do. They eat any kind of anything. I brought up the Wikipedia page on pica here. Pica is characterized by an appetite for substances largely non-nutritious, such as clay or chalk. For these actions to be considered pica, they must be persistent for more than 1 month at an age where eating such objects is considered developmentally inappropriate.
Right, so it's in young kids then, basically. Yeah. It's young kids that are like... developing, you know, social skills and like what they can eat and what they can't eat, and they can't, they eat non-foods,
right? And they eat like fucking anything they can find.
Yeah, has it got any examples on there? I want to hear the funny stuff.
There isn't actually any examples.
Oh, that's a shame.
No, this is more for sort of, I don't know, information medical base and not actually just taking the piss base.
Right, okay.
So, it's low on that kind of thing.
Yeah.
There we have it. It's a bit of education there on the Dirty Con podcast. Yeah. Sort of. I think it's as close as we'll ever get.
Yeah, I think so.
Educational. I have another story here.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'm out of stories now, whether I like it or not, because my iPad's dying.
You know, this has been another awesome fucking show. You know, this has been pure fucking fried gold right here.
It's
you know, there's no point in keep going with stories when we haven't gone.
I've been rocking a semi.
This is right. Drunk school... start that again. Drunk school run mum swings at playground.
Okay.
Right. Bear with me. A woman drove 4 kids from school while almost 3 times the drink drive limit.
Oh.
Yeah. Ellen Stoll, 45, took the children to a playground and watched them run around as she sat in her car guzzling wine.
Nice.
Which, I can see that, you know, yeah. You get boring after a while, just sort of sat in heat. Especially if it's a hot day like today, Jay. If you had a glass of, definitely. If you knew you just had a stray bottle of wine or a beer, a couple of beer cans floating in the car and you dropped your kids off, you know, and you were busy, peeping on them.
Yeah.
Playing.
Yeah.
You'd swing them down, wouldn't you?
I would swing them down. And also, I'd think, this three times over the drink drive limit just doesn't seem to be enough. I need to get the wine out and improve that statistic.
I know. She opened a bottle and poured it into a beaker, I caught her yesterday.
Classy.
Yeah. Well, she's a classy bird. A woman passerby called police after seeing her swigging from what looked like a vodka bowl while in the driver's seat. Prosecutor Simon Jones told Southampton Crown Court store she was clearly unsteady on her feet as she got out of the car. When breathalyzed, she gave a reading of 96 milligrams. The limit is 35 milligrams.
Right.
Police took the children to a safe place. I like that. Just, you know, safe place.
Yeah.
Fucking McDonald's, what?
Yeah, lots of places are safe. It doesn't mean that it's appropriate.
Yeah, wherever she isn't. Keely Harvey, defending, said Storr was well-educated but had become isolated. She turned to drink during a stressful period but had a dawning realisation of what she was doing when police turned up. She has not touched alcohol since her arrest in November last year, the court heard. Storr, she'll do it again though, won't she?
Yeah,
she's done it once, she's going to do it again. She admitted to being drunk in charge of a minor and drink driving. She was given a 2-year car ban and a community sentence. That's it. That's all she was given.
The thing is, though... Oh, sorry, I'm yawning. It's the heat. The thing is, though, I mean, that punishment is not nearly enough.
Nowhere near enough.
Because, like, I mean, yeah, you know, oh, I'm so sorry, I was drunk and, you know, and I was taking these kids to the playground. What would have happened if you just, I don't know, maybe accidentally crossed onto the other side of the road and just killed all the kids? Then all of a sudden, it'd be a fucking national disaster. People would be fucking screaming for a, you know, for a head. But all of a sudden, just because she got away with it...
Yeah, she got away with it.
Community service and can't drive for 2 years. Fucking, what you should actually do is fucking not let her drive ever.
Right.
And maybe take her kids off her. Because if she's willing to put her kids in mortal danger...
Basically.
For the fact of having a drink...
Right.
Just for taking the edge off because you're a little bit stressed out because things aren't going your way. And I'm sorry, maybe you don't deserve your kids because you don't really care about if they die or not.
What's about responsibility, isn't it?
A drink. You know, I mean, I can't speak as a parent because I haven't got kids that I know of. but I'm pretty sure that... You know, I mean, I've had to look after kids in my past, you know, like, I've had to look after cousins or, you know, friends, you know, little kids for a bit. And I tend not to do anything like drinking or, you know, or, like, smoking.
Shoot a
heroin.
Yeah,
you know, I do lay off the, you know, the crack.
Juggle with blades or...
Yeah, you know, I tend to try and, you know, abide by... The laws of normality.
Take all your clothes off and
while I'm looking after this kid that just clearly can't look after
himself. I think it's responsible child caring, you know.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And I just think, like I say, if you're going to have a drink, you know, when you're driving, just because you need to take the edge off, you're failing as a parent.
Right. I agree with you, Jay.
Maybe I'm being a little bit too harsh, but...
Fucker.
You know, if the kids died, then it would be a different fucking story.
It would be a different story. We read a lot of that in the news just recently, unfortunately.
We certainly have.
Two Bracefront women jailed for 21 weeks. Now, do you remember this woman, Jay, who got done for that viral video on the internet, the woman that was racial ranting on the train? Do you remember her? I think she was a relative of yours.
It's quite possible.
42-year-old Jacqueline Woodhouse's drunken tirade was caught on camera. A drunk passenger who hurled racist abuse at fellow tube travellers in a tirade that became an internet sensation has been jailed for 21 weeks. So it's just a bit of a follow-up story here.
Yeah.
She's been jailed for 21 weeks. Jacqueline...
Oh, I do remember it now.
Yeah,
sorry.
There was loads of, like, ethnic minorities on the tube and she just screams at them.
Yeah, the funny coloured ones.
Yeah.
Will I go to jail for this, John?
Probably.
Okay.
Jacqueline Woodhouse, 42, launched an... expletive-laden rant at passengers on the Central Line, telling those seated near her, "I used to live in England, and now I live in the United Nations." A great shout. A 7-minute video of the verbal assault was uploaded on YouTube and viewed more than 200,000 times. The District Judge Mitchell Snow of Westminster Magistrates Court in Central London said anyone viewing it would feel a deep sense of shame. Jay?
Shame? Why?
That our citizens could be subject to such behaviour, who may, as a consequence, believe that it secretly represents the views of other white people.
secretly represent. No.
No secret about it.
There's no secret about it. At the end of the day, black person, white person, you've got a gun. You've got to kill one. Which do you go? Which do you kill? Complete strangers. Almost identical apart from the skin colour. You kill the black person. You do. I'm sorry, you look after your own. It's... You just do. Secretly, we hate all funny coloured things.
In the video of her latest foul mouth outburst in January, filmed by a businessman, Woodhouse can be heard shouting in the thick Essex accent, "All fuckers, foreign fuckers, shitheads, etc."
Okay.
Yeah, the Foreign Secretary of Romford, Essex, turns to other passengers and asks, "Where do you come from? Where do you come from? Where do you come from? All over the world, fucking jokers, fucking countries, a fucking joke. I would like to know if any of you are illegal. I am sure, like 30% of you are. Fucking jokers taking the fucking piss." This is her quote. The defendant, dressed in a dark jacket, sat with her head bowed, occasionally nodding as District Judge Snow issued his damning sentence remarks. The judge said, "The train was packed with people from a variety of ethnic backgrounds," he added. "The people included children. She became loud, foul-mouthed and aggressive. She targeted her behaviour on those who weren't white. She directed it at those who were close to her, on occasion directly into their faces. She threatened violence against more than one person and took it place over a prolonged period."
Oh, sorry. It sounded like
I just wonder if you wanted to interject.
I don't know. The thing is with my quite obvious racism is that
You don't want to hear that kind of shit on the...
Yeah, it's true. I don't like many other colours apart from white. I'm really sorry. I've just got this preconception that they're all thieving, you know, backstabbing, fucking money-grabbing little fuckers. But I know that's probably bullshit. That's just my automatic response. And that's why I don't tell them. That's why I don't go up to people and say, "You're thieving little shite, you are." You know, just because you're black. It's me being...
It's almost like you recognise your own sort of prejudice.
Yeah, I don't understand that it's all bollocks, but it's just my first thought. It's just...
Your initial...
I can't help it. It's like, you know, if you see a glass falling off the table, you automatically go to grab it, don't you?
Right.
That's kind of, it's my reflex that I just don't like black people. I understand that it's wrong, I just can't change.
She initially pleaded not guilty. She changed her plea to guilty one day before her trial. Prosecutor Claire Campbell said Woodhouse, who has since lost her job and is now claiming benefits, began her stream of abuse after a retirement party when she was feeling a little worse for wear. She had drunk an unknown quantity of champagne, basically.
Wow. Well, if you're going to be drinking champagne, then you're on benefits.
She's just gone from being like a racist employed person to like a sort of quiet sort of benefit claiming fucker now.
Yeah.
I don't know who I hate worse, Jay.
I bet she feels pretty stupid. One night of just, you know, running your mouth, and now you have nothing. That's why she's not a very good racist.
Right.
Because she, you know, it's fine to be racist, just don't tell anyone. I enjoy being racist, I just don't tell...
Yeah, but you don't,
funny,
you
know, ones.
I think it's any opinion. I think any opinion is absolutely fine and valid as long as you don't have, you know, shove it in other people's faces.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's all it is. If you're not, you know.
If it's bound to, you know, get a bit of controversy, then, you know, maybe it's not worth the hassle, mate.
Well, Ivan, this is my last story now, I think,
thank
for the
God
night.
For that, because I am boiling, John.
Okay.
I am probably seconds away from death.
This is another one for Dave, though, because he's not here. This is another Fox story. And I just like the catchy sort of title here. "For fuck's sake, get me the fox out of here."
Oh, man. That's hilarious.
Can you sort of guess what this story might involve?
I'm guessing... No, I have no guess.
Okay.
Foxes just seems too obvious.
A fox cub had to be rescued after it became trapped in a gap between two brick-built garages just 4 inches wide.
Aww.
The male cub had been stuck for 36 hours before an animal ambulance rescue specialist from the fire service managed to free him.
Aww.
As the cub has wedged itself 10 feet into the cavity, Buster Brown, which is a brilliant name,
yeah,
had to use chimney rods to reach the distressed animal. He then used a drill hammer, bolster and chisel to remove bricks from the garage wall in Emsworth near Portsmouth, Hants, and released the cub. Fireman Brown said, "Once a hole was made, I released the cub and moved slightly to slightly away to make sure I had room to manoeuvre. This procedure took nearly 2 hours and I had to remove the bricks carefully to ensure it didn't injure the animal. The young fox was later released into the wild after Buster had checked it over." Oh. Now, while Buster was doing this for 2 hours, you know, 17,000 kids had died in house fires. Because Buster Brown here, which is a fucking fantabulous name for a fucking fireman. spent 2 hours fucking getting this fox out. Yeah. Can you just got a pellet gun?
sorry, Doc. Pop.
Old Yeller's going.
Your misery's ended.
Old Yeller's going to the big fucking field in the sky.
Yeah.
I just thought that was kind of funny.
You know what? It's kind of weird though, is it? Because I would have done that for a fox. If I was a fireman, I'd have done that for a fox. I would have helped it because, you know, foxes are nice and cute and cuddly and all that kind of thing. If it was a, I don't know, some shit, you know, that's something that I don't really like.
One of those little terrier dog things.
Yeah, if it was a terrier, exactly. If it was a, what, like a shih tzu or, you know, like a poodle, anything, I'd have been like, no, sorry, love. Can't do anything about it. Gary, fetch my spade. You know, that's how I'd have been, and that's pretty bad. But
I think that's bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, fuck foxes. That's my point. And Dave's not here, so we can say that.
Yeah.
Because Dave has just formed a recent alliance with the fox.
Yeah.
So
fuck foxes fuck and fox. Fuck Dave.
Yeah, there we go.
Is what you're saying.
I think that's a nice way to end the show.
I think just say fuck Dave. Because, fuck Dave. I like foxes.
Fucking right in his nice tall arse.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure his young girlfriend's enjoying.
Gorgeously delicate and unhairy virgin girlfriend.
Lovely. Hmm. And on that note, I think we're going to end the show. I've had fun, Jay. It's been, you know, it's been a while, but we got back into the flow of things.
We've dipped our feet into the blue of the podcast pool.
That's right.
And we've emerged semi-victorious.
I think we have, sir.
So next week might be better since we're getting back into the swing of things.
Yeah, definitely.
But I make no promises.
Oh, no, fuck no. No. Fuck no. We shouldn't.
You get what you're given.
Indeed. And if you don't like it, you can suck it.
Yeah, listen to something else.
Yeah, listen to something
better. Because it probably will be better.
You could listen to Doghouse Bastards or What the Pod.
Or the Royal Undoodle Show.
Come on, Jay. Come on, Jay.
I'm sorry.
We've joked about paedophiles and fucking
it. Just too far-fetched. I just couldn't keep a straight face. I mean,
fucking Royal Undoodle Show.
They just seem so stupid. I mean, do they kind of feed themselves? Are they still alive to be able to do the show?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
I'm sure one of them's a homosexual, so they're probably dying of some sort of anal disease.
Cock-related incident.
But moving on from that.
Sorry.
We still haven't sent What the Pod our roundabout diary thing that we've...
Oh, yeah.
So this comes against the promises that we said we were going to make. Chris and Chad, guys, loving you. Hoping you still listen to the show. We listen to your show. Well, I do anyway. Jay doesn't.
You know, no, I do. I don't listen to my podcast.
No.
I don't listen to... You know, you are... This is all your fault. You make all these promises to all these fancy little fucking podcasts around the world, and you're all like best friends, and, you know, you all suck each other off. And, you know, you make all promises to each other, and frankly, I'm not interested. And you drag me in, and like, oh, Jay, let's make this diagram of fucking roundabouts around Derby and stuff. Or for, what, Chris and... Brad?
Chad?
Whoever the fuck they are. I don't know what... Is that What the Pod? Or what? I don't know. I really don't know. You're making all these promises, and I don't care less about these people.
That's right, Jay.
No. It's not okay. Don't ever calm down. What I'm telling you, John, is that stop making these promises on my behalf because I'm frankly not interested. You know, they do a podcast, and that's great. You know, that's fucking fine. And they do a pretty good job, probably better than us. But I don't want to talk to them.
Okay.
I don't like them.
All right.
I don't like them.
All right.
I respect them as people, and the fact they're doing podcasts, we've obviously got a common thing going on, but I don't like them.
But that doesn't include the Royal Noodle Show?
No.
That's the other podcast.
Yeah, they're just like, they are pond scum. they are the lowest of the low. They are the least... That, you know, on the food chain, they are the drain that drips off the bottom. It's just they're nothing.
Okay, we'll move on. I think
basically what I'm saying is stop involving me with everyone.
All right then.
You feel free to cut that out. That was just a rant for you, not for everyone else. Sorry, that probably lasts about 5 minutes.
And just to, so everybody's updated, the by the time you listen to this, hopefully the penultimate episode 50 video will be on YouTube. The Dirty Kong podcast searches on YouTube, and you can find the video of last episode where I wear a thong and Jay wears a funny hat.
And Dave punches a badger.
Indeed, more than once. So check that out. Like I say, keep Facebooking us, keep emailing us, dirtykong@live.co.uk. That's not even the thing, is it?
dirtykong.co.uk.
I don't know,
that's
something
the,
like
that's
it.
That's the website.
Just Facebook us. We're on Facebook.
Yeah,
fuck
Facebook it.
brilliant. So hopefully next week Dave will be around if he's not having sex with his young lady.
Yeah.
But until then, ladies and gents.
Do you reckon she's
done
a sats yet?
Until then, ladies and gents, it's goodbye from me, John Boy.
It's goodbye from me, Jamie.
We're gonna. And we'll see you next week.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Let me stand.